from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. It's a chapter that follows a very interesting chapter 11. I'm just going to read verses 1 up to verses 3. Hebrews, chapter 12. I only realized, the way I love Mukanyo, I only realized when I entered this college that I don't have a tie, I have a t-shirt. Then I realized that I'm sick now. It's not only flu, but something's wrong mentally. But let's read the word of God from verses 1 to verses 3. It reads thus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners, such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint hearted. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great opportunity for your word. May your word work in our hearts, that we may be able to see you more clearly and love you more dearly. And may you strengthen me, Lord, as we go through this passage, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. My fellow brothers and sisters, allow me to greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is one passage that follows a passage which relates to us quite a number of names of great or giants, people who lived in faith. And when you go through that, you get courageous, honestly. When you feel you are losing heart, you are losing faith, just going through chapter 11, you get so courageous to see how Christians went through certain things and they stood by faith. Now you come to chapter 12, then it opens up and then it talks to us as Christians today. I have had several sermons, and maybe I also did it, but I have had quite a number of sermons on this passage where we are encouraged or stimulated to view ourselves sitting in a stadium. I don't know how it comes, but we are encouraged to view ourselves sitting in a stadium where we are cheered up, or the saints we've passed on are clapping their hands for us while we are running. I stand to be corrected, honestly, but I don't think it's really scriptural. It is like, or it sounds like the saints who have passed on, if we look them like that, they still have an access on us. They are watching us somewhere. They still have blessings over our life. If we still think that they are cheering on us or sitting there, pulling us by hands, then for me it sounds like we are not really doing justice to the scripture. But what is the Lord saying to us? Chapter 12 makes a serious call to us as Christians. It makes a serious call to all of us, to the first hearers of the text, and to us as Christians today. It makes a serious call. And what kind of a call is this? A call to run a race of faith that is set before us. And what is encouraging is that we don't have people who are pulling us by hands or who are clapping hands for us. But what is encouraging us is that we are not the first runners of this marathon. There are those who have went before us, who have seen this, who have endured the pain, and who have witnessed. There are those who have went before, whom some have experienced difficult situations in their life. And chapter 11 opened up the whole story concerning those giants of faith. For an example, when you read chapter 11 verses 4, When I read this, and then I asked myself, how will many people read this when it says Abel still speaks even though he is dead? Many of us would clap hands and say, wow, it supports what we believe. Abel still speaks even though he is dead. It does not mean he comes into our dreams or into our visions, but it simply tells us the way he faithfully lived, even today, we can still look back into how he feared the Lord and loved God. We can still look back into his life and be able to see and be courageous in what he has done in his life. Now chapter 12. It starts in a very interesting way. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What is the Lord expecting from us from this text? Simple. To run a race. That's what the Lord is expecting of us. To run. Athletics was a common sport during the times of the Bible. So Christian life, from salvation to the end of it, it is compared to a marathon, a journey, an agony of life. Now God is calling us as Christians to run a race. It is not just a normal race like we know it or like we see it in a stadium. But it's a serious call to run a race. Just like a normal race, there are several things that one needs to consider before entering it. For there are stumbling blocks, discouragements, pains, and a lot of things that might come along to discourage us or to move us from the focus we are running to. And that's the reason. It's a serious call. Sorry. That's the reason it's called a serious call for a marathon. Entering it demands a proper understanding of what God is expecting of us. As Jesus once said to his disciples, when you follow me in this race, you need to count the cost, for the race might be challenging or demanding. Now the writer is encouraging the Christians, is calling upon the Christians to run the race considering whatever might come along their life. It is just not a normal race that everyone can enter. It is a race that the Lord has set before us as Christians. And when I recall these words of Jesus Christ, when he says, count the cost, for the race might be demanding. But what is God expecting of us in this race? The same as the first recipients of the letter, God expects from us to run with our eyes set on Jesus, whom he explained as the perfecter and the founder of faith. And it's clear from our text. It is expected of us, as the same as it was expected from the Christians who received this letter, that we run this race not with blind eyes, but to run this race with our eyes set on Jesus, who he is explained as the perfecter and the founder of our faith. We don't run with our eyes set on our great, great fathers and mothers who are surrounding us as witnesses or as witnesses. But we run with our eyes on Christ. And to be able to do that, we have to concentrate, or to be able to do that, We have to concentrate, and we are told how to concentrate or how to pay attention in this marathon. We're not only told. Therefore, run the race. But we are told on how to run it. The Lord expects us to run in a manner that He has set it for us. We don't put rules and regulations on how to run this marathon. We don't put our aims and our goals in this marathon. The Lord has ways in which He wants us to run it. Some of us, the church gives rules and regulations. We live by the commands of the church. We run by the constitutions of the church. We run by the church orders of the church. But we are expected to run with our eyes on Christ. Despite all the clouds that is surrounding us, our eyes, it's not needed to be focused on them. Our eyes must be based on Christ only. But how are we to pay concentration? Or how are we to concentrate in this marathon? I'm sorry that I get stuck. Now, how are we to concentrate in this? Now, there are a few things, or there are two things that are said to us. The Lord says we are to lay off every weight and sin which cling closely to us. We won't be able to run this marathon or to enjoy in this race while we are carrying things on our shoulders, in our minds, and in our lives. For they will burden us. They will be heavy on us. I once was driving, and I saw somebody, he was, I don't know if he was joking or was running a marathon, I don't know, but he was running. But funny enough, this man had a bag on his shoulder. And inside, there are stones, heavy stones. And he wear very heavy boots, what do you call that? Mm. Yeah. And he's running, and I'm asking myself, how does he cope with this? But according to the explanation of the people who are driving behind him, they are saying now, it is better for him to feel this weight, that when he removes them, that he will feel light and be able to run the marathon. And I said, but that's madness for me. According to me, that's madness. Because on this text, the Lord says, put off, lay off every weight and sin which clings so closely to our life. And this reminds me of the word of Paul in the book of Philippians, when he says, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it. One thing I do, I forget what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on, I pursue, I run towards the goal. In other words, I consider whatever might be a burden on me rubbish. I think that's the way then. I consider it as nothing. The laws, the regulations, the ceremonies, the manner that I grew up in, I consider as nothing. And I pursue, I run towards the goal. Fellow brothers and sisters, certain things must be thrown away in order for us to run free and focused. For the word of the Lord says, we are to run the race. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay every weight and sin. And it is expected of us to run, focusing on Christ. Imagine an athlete who has to run a marathon but does not give attention to his diet,
Such an athlete is likely to win the marathon. Focused athletes will work hard to eliminate whatever they know might hinder their running unpleasant. And the same is true spiritually. Whatever weight or bulk that might hinder us from running towards our destiny must be laid off. And our destiny is Christ, who has set the goal for us, who is praying for us each and every day to run with endurance. I'm going to repeat what I said. And the same is true spiritually. Whatever weight or bulk that might hinder us from running towards our destiny must be laid off. But I tell you, it is not easy to deal with what I normally enjoy, even though it drags me down. Somebody once said to us, sin, it's something we enjoy and love. And to get rid of it, it's so painful. But I tell you, whatever weight or bulk or any hindrance that might hinder us from running towards our destiny or hinder us from focusing on Christ, who is the perfecter and the founder of our faith, must be dealt with. But what could hinder us from running free? From our text it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. Those two things. It says there are two things mentioned here. The weight or bulk, and the sin which clings to us. The Jewish might have carried the heavy bulk of the demands from their Judaism laws and ceremonies, which might have made it hard for them to see Christ more clearly. And several scriptures tell us how the law was made to be heavy weight on the shoulders of the Jewish people. They could not see Christ more clearly. For the law and the ceremonies, the way they were made it very much impossible for them to run towards Christ with endurance. But what about us? What could be burdening us? What could be dragging us down? But there are many things that we can say or we can mention that could be of a hindrance to run a race with endurance. And it is not only the bad things that can be a hindrance or a weight on us. You know, we are commanded to love our families, to love our brothers and sisters as we love ourselves. But if that love surpasses the love of Christ, it becomes a burden to us. It moves our focus from Christ. It makes us choose them than Christ. It makes us to remove our eyes from Him as our Lord. I once heard somebody say, giving is a command from God. But as soon as it's an obligation to change the mind of God, to bribe God, then it becomes a burden to us. Then I need to lay it off. Sports, as a hobby, can be a weight in our lives. I once
made a visit to one of the African churches. And the minister made a joke to us, and he said to us, you know, among my church council brothers, he said, I'm not going to mention the name, there are those who love sports more than Christ. And we looked at him, we were wondering, what is he talking about, this man? Then he said to us, one of the elders once came to him, and at a Sunday, it was the day for the Holy Communion. He said, do you want me? Academically get a PhD. I'm not going to be in the church. My older son is sick. My parents are sick. I'm going to visit them on Sunday. On Monday, it's the highlights on the television for sports. There he was. On a red stadium. And was cheering. The camera got him because he had written, go, Black Bulls, go. And was cheering. Oh. The Dominion. Is he not at his own home? But it was a stadium. Certain things are a burden to us. They change our focus. They move our life. They change our marathon. They change the goal that we are heading to. And as soon as they become a burden, as soon as they become sinful to us, we are to lay them off. Because once we allow them to be in our life like that, we will never run with endurance. There are also some traditions in the church which are a burden to us. Some of the things we grew up with in the church. At homes. Which makes it very hard for us to see Christ walking in. I don't want to mention some. Because it might be a problem. But they become a burden to us. What are we called to? To see Christ as the end goal. And how are we to see that? To run with our eyes on Him, who is the founder and perfecter of faith. Colossians 3:5 says, we are also to put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. The verse 8 says, we must also put away anger, wrath, slander, obscenity, talk from our mouth. We are to put them off. Because as they are in our life, sinful as they are, they hinder us from running our race with our eyes on Christ. We can quote several scriptures concerning this, or concerning what makes it impossible for us to see Christ more clearly, or to hinder us from running. But the issue is, we all know what is there in our lives that makes our lives stuck in this Christian journey. We all know what we love most, what we enjoy most, what we cherish most. We all know. I don't know what is in your life. You don't know what is in my life. But what I know is that we are called for a race. And we are expected to finish it. Focusing on Christ. And whatever might hinder me, get rid of it. I remember once preached on Matthew 18, verse 8 to 9, when it says, when your hand gives you problems, chop it off. When your eyes give you a problem, gush it out. It is better to enter heaven without an eye or without an arm. But it is hard call. And it's a serious call. Because we are not expected to run aimlessly or to box as beating an air, but we are to run knowing we are running for Christ, the end goal. But here's another question. How are we expected to run? Now the Bible says here, with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
We are to run
with endurance.
We don't run aimlessly. We don't run like people who don't think. Yes, we have this cloud which is there, which is giving us courage. We are looking at how they live before the Lord. We are encouraged with their lives each and every day. We imitate how they walk before the Lord. But more importantly, we are to imitate Christ, who gave us this faith, and who continually encourages us through His Word and the Holy Spirit. But how are we to enjoy? Even if we run with endurance, there are limitations, there are stumbling blocks, there are difficulties. But verses 1 brings again, run with endurance, perseverance, or determination. This is actually a great challenge because we are encouraged to remain under the challenges of the race, to remain under the difficulties that might come. We are not encouraged to give up. Even when struggles come, we are to endure. As Christ endured the pain, the slander, the cross, we are to look at Him and find courage in Him. We are encouraged to remain under the challenges of this race, to remain under the difficulties that might come, or even the struggles. We are never to give up. But why is that important, that we run with endurance? Remember, the devil, the world, and our sinful nature can make our life a miserable one, or can discourage us to lose focus, or to lose heart, or to lose hope. We are strongly told, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. But remember, the devil plays an opposition. The world plays an opposition. Our flesh plays an opposition. They are there to discourage us, that we may lose hope, that we may lose focus on Christ, that we may lose heart, that we may be discouraged. This morning I woke up with my nose blocked. Then I almost called Dr. Brown and said, "You are going to preach." But I said, "I'm going." But that's how he functions. He just wants to see us down. You see, your Christ, He can't heal you. He's not there for you. You can't finish the race. Where is your Christ? But I can't lie. It was painful in the morning. But that's how He sees us. That we lose hope. And for us to run with endurance, we are being reminded by our text or by scripture that we are not the first runners of this marathon. We must take courage by looking at the example set for us by those who ran the race before us. And chapter 11 gives us all the giants of faith, how they suffered. Some of them even died without seeing what was promised to them. You can think of Abraham. He was promised the land, but he did not even see it. He was promised a big nation, but he died even before he could see it. We must take courage by looking at their examples set before us by those who ran the race before us. We are to see how some have suffered under great torment, but stood in faith. And most died in faith without seeing what was promised to them. And what is important for us to find courage
It's Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of faith. And that is why we are told we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Their life is a witness of how they lived a life of faith, how they suffered for the faith. You know, many people can ask us as Christians, are you okay? But unfortunately, they don't understand what we feel inside. What motivates us to continue saying glory to Him, even though we don't see. Many would say, you are not normal. But the Spirit in us tells us, whatever you believe, it's true. For Christ is the founder of that faith. He has endured the insult, the shame, and the cross. And despite all that, he stood trusting his Father. And now seated at the right hand of God, praying or interceding for us. Now, dear brothers and sisters, through this gift of faith in us, through this gift of faith in us, I'm trying not to cough, we should be able to find courage in Jesus to run with endurance, perseverance, determination, for He is there watching us, praying for us. And more especially, He is the one who has set the pace for us, not the church, not our parents, not our pastors, but He planned this race for us. He knows exactly what challenges, hardships we are facing. And the one we will face, He knows about that. He walked the path. He set the pace for us. He gave us this faith so we can be strong in Him. He knows how to strengthen us through the Holy Spirit, when pain hits hard, when things go hard, He has answers. He said, I will be with you up to the end of time. I will never leave you nor forsake you. My fellow brothers and sisters, what is expected of us? To look at this cloud that is surrounding us, or to look at Christ and be encouraged by the life of our forefathers? We are expected to run to Christ, our eyes set on Him. And we have got people who have lived this faith, and we can learn from them. And we can find courage in them that the Lord has kept them. He will keep us also. As He has walked with them, He will walk with us. For we find peace in Him and joy even when things are not good. This great cloud of witnesses, their life of faith is set before us by God, so we can learn and be courageous whenever we face trials and temptations, because some of them have faced exactly what we face. They are not there to clap their hands for us, but they are there that we can learn and be able to run and stand up when we are weak and move on. What is holding you back? What is bothering you in your life? What is making you question Christ? What is there dragging your life to see Him more clearly? What is there that makes your life slow in this marathon? You know it. I don't know it. But that's a solution. And it's not easy. But it's to go to Christ. And cry to Him. That He may be able to help you to lay off whatever is weighing you down. The sin that might be pulling you down. Cry to Him. You know why? He knows this chain. He has set it for us. And He has won for us. And He's now seated at the cross, at the right hand of God, praying for us each and every day. Then I want to close with the words of Paul, which I believe should be something that we cry each and every day to have it. When he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have lived. To all who have loved His appearing. I think that might be our greatest desire. To be able to keep faith until we finish the race. Some have fallen, and some are still going to fall. Be watchful of your life, for the devil is roaring like a lion, ready to take off your life from this journey. But once your eyes are on Christ, your faith is on Him, the journey will be completed. As the Holy Spirit encourages us to get rid of everything that is holding us back. May we find courage in our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we see our life ending with joy and celebration when we finally come to Him. When you finally say, well done, my children. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You and we worship You, Lord, for being our great Lord. God, You are worthy to be praised. You deserve all the glory and the honor. We thank You for taking care of our needs, our life. Father, we have seen many live in this world through accidents, horrible sicknesses. Many things taking them off from this world. And over the past weekend, we have seen terrible accidents. Oh Lord, thank You for sparing our life. And the reason we are gathered here this morning, we are here to say thank You for being our Father. For You have kept us alive up to this far. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. For each and every one, You know their needs. You know their struggle. You know what their family needs, their ministries. You know their financial struggles. And even now, at this point in time, the anxiety of exams slowly coming in. The burden over the lecturers to mark all the script fairly. This is the time, Lord, where we need You to carry us through. That at the end of the day, Lord, we may be able to bring glory to You. that you may be the one who is visible in everything, not us, Lord. Remove us from the center, and you remain the center of everything. May you continue carrying our college. The name as it flies out there, Lord. May it shine as the name says, Ukanyo. And whatever, Lord, we might be doing wrong, may you help us, Lord, to correct. And whatever good we might be doing, help us to continue and enjoy in doing it, Lord. For the field is big. Help us to cover it, Lord. And I pray, Lord, at this moment, for all the sicknesses that come upon us, Lord, that your hand may be upon us, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray and I thank you, Lord.